20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Peretz, joined always weekly by Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher. Guys, we don't have a lot going on, so let's stretch this out. How are you doing today? I know Sarah's got – Sarah, we'll start with you because we know you're very, very worried about tomorrow. So why don't you fill everybody in on what you're doing?
Oh, tomorrow's a big day for me. I have my capstone presentation, which my graduation in the fall is dependent on. But I feel pretty prepared. My group is good, so I think I can knock that out. And I also have a work presentation tomorrow. So lots of presentations tomorrow. Everyone's going to have to listen to me talk. Not really looking forward to it, but I'm also looking forward to it because now it will be over. And then I will officially pretty much be on summer break with just work and no classes. But we're almost there. The end is near. Very excited to get it over with, but scared because it's a big day.
Well, we appreciate you taking a little time to still join us. Dusty, we know you are running on like no sleep, so you're going to be a little crazy tonight, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, sleep deprived. My son has decided that sleep is for the weak, and so he just wakes up every day from like 1 to 3 in the morning, which is just awesome. And so when he does actually stay in his crib, which is rare, it just means I have to lay down and sleep next to him on the floor, and I'm an old person, which means I always pinch a nerve or something every time, which then makes sleep the next night harder. So yeah, I'm running on a little sleep, and work has been insane lately. So my mind is either in a really good mental place for this podcast or a really bad one. So I guess we're going to find out.
And I'm impressed. You just, while talking about this, you also tweeted that what movie you're watching to piss me off. So, I mean, you know, that's pretty, you're functioning on multiple levels right now. If you can talk and tweet just to annoy me while we're
it's
on here together.
What we call multitasking, Steve. Look it up.
Wow. Yeah, man, the funny part is, for everybody listening, Dusty complimented me twice before we got on air.
He did. He was being really nice, and I was totally surprised, and now it's like...
And I called it. I called it. I said, well, we haven't hit record yet, so he can be nice to me until...
Yeah, there's no evidence of that happening,
Steve.
He needs
to be on brand.
Zero evidence of that happening.
Dusty needs to be a D-bag to me and super nice to Sarah to make it all work, so...
Well, yeah, we had the one person that was like, if we're mean to Sarah, she's going to spin off and create her own podcast. And so we got to be nice to Sarah so she doesn't throw us under the bus. Me and you, Steve, we're not going anywhere. That's true. Sarah could do big things. And so we got to be nice to Sarah to make sure she doesn't run off.
She's like the rising star, and we need to be able to figure out ways to attach ourselves to her.
She knows words like capstone project. I mean, she's next level, Steve. Next level.
The thing, though, that I loved about that comment is that the like first thing that they thought I would do if we ever like broke up as a podcast was make a podcast to then try to destroy your podcast. That was just really entertaining to me. So
it wouldn't take much work is the thing, but also making a podcast is way harder. Like as far as like getting it out, that actually costs money and takes work. And I don't know. I feel like you're too busy to do that just to spite me and Steve.
I don't think I don't think she's that vindictive. Like a little bit, but not that vindictive.
Yeah, like I wouldn't like sit there and be like, "Ooh, I'm going to talk about these things today," and I can't wait till Dusty and Steve listen so they can get pissed off. Like,
oh, I'm not listening to your podcast, Sarah.
Oh, hell no, hell no. I'll be trashing that thing on Twitter left and right. So, good luck, Sarah.
On Twitter, I'm sending letters to her house, Steve.
So I guess this is a really bad time to announce I'm starting my own podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Get out.
I'm kidding. No way.
It's called Captain America's Ass.
Ooh. Wait, Sarah, can I be in on that? Can I?
There we go.
I mean, if you want. Yeah, sorry, Steve. Really.
You know what? That's cool. If you guys want to nerd out and talk about Avengers nonstop, I'm going to go to our bread and butter and want to talk about the Packers. So if you guys need to talk about Chris Evans' butt and things like that, you go right ahead.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Okay, how about we talk some football? How about that? Let's get to that. Continuing on with the theme going on for the Pack-A-Day podcast, we are now going to take a deeper dive into the top 10 wide receivers the Packers are going to face in the 2019-2020 season. And before we even jump into that, we kind of the one thing that we all took a look at was just, you know, depth charts and everything for these teams. So instead of just the individuals, we'll get to that next of our top 10 lists. Is there a team that stuck out to both of you guys of the wide receivers? You just said, you know, outside of their number one, like they have a really solid just group of wide receivers. Dusty, did you have one in mind?
I did, actually. There's you know, quite a few different ones, I think, that have something interesting with them. But the one that I think kind of stood out to me is surprising in a way, because I forgot one of these guys was on it, is the Lions. I think of the Lions, and I think Galladay. You know, Galladay, you know, obviously the up-and-comer, their number one, you know, just tremendous last year. I think he's on the rise again this year. And I knew Marvin Jones. You know, he was in Cincinnati for a while. He's been in Detroit, I think, 3 years now. Like that 1-2, that's a good 1-2. I'm not going to say anything bad about them because they have absolutely torched the Packers in the past. That's a good 1-2. And then this past offseason, and it doesn't move the needle too much by himself because he's an old person now, but Danny Amendola is that 3. And the grouping, I think, of Galladay, Jones, and Amendola, they play really well to each other's strengths. They still got Stafford throwing them the ball, so he's going to chuck it over their heads. But it's a... That's a good point, Sarah. I take back everything I said. But yeah, I mean, I kind of went into this thinking, okay, the Lions, like I kind of know what the Bears are and I know what the Vikings are, but the Lions, I kind of wasn't overly scared of, and I'm still not overly scared. But that's a good group. That Galladay, Jones, Amendola is, I think, is kind of a sneaky grouping that could do some good things together.
Okay, Sarah, what you got?
I just went kind of stereotypical on this one with the Vikings. I was just thinking which teams always, like, as a Packers fan, pissed me off, for lack of better words. And the Vikings are always the number one team that comes to that list. And when I think about how we have to play them multiple times in a season and just the rivalry of that game every year, no matter if one team is significantly better than the other, it's just always a very feisty game, always a very interesting game. And so obviously they have Diggs and Thielen together, and that's just a duo. I mean, yeah. Both of them are super shifty and have great body control, and just being able to make players miss, really. And it's just scary, that duo together. And every time we play them, both of them seem to play very well. And I'm hoping that with the defense, we're able to try to slow them down a little bit this year, but they still scare me a little bit, and definitely two people to look out for in that duo that's consistently strong every week in the NFL.
The whole NFC North is actually decently stacked wide receiver wise. The one that stuck out to me was actually the Dallas Cowboys. So lining up with Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Allen Hurns, Randall Cobb, Tavon Austin, like, they've got a bunch of playmakers, and if those guys stay healthy, the quarterback's not horrible for sure. I mean, I wouldn't want to have to pay Dak Prescott $30, $35 million, but he can effectively get the ball out, and they've got a good run game. So, I mean, throw in Randall Cobb to go in with Amari Cooper, Allen Hurns, and Michael Gallup. That, it's a pretty stacked group. I mean, I come honestly, like, when I was looking at it, I completely forgot about Allen Hurns, but
yeah,
when he's a number, like, a, you know, 2A with Gallup, 2B, Randall Cobb, 2. Like, they have a whole bunch of 2s and then Amari Cooper, which is pretty impressive to do when you're going 1 through 4. So, I mean, that's a good thing for the Packers to have some solid cornerbacks as well as Darnell Savage, who can play some slot, you know, here and there if they go 4 wide. So it's a talented team. I mean, I think the other one we had talked about was the Eagles.
Yeah.
The Eagles have a very solid between DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Nelson Aguilar. That's a solid trio right there.
It is. I mean, I really like, you know, Aguilar. I think he started off kind of iffy, like, his career, and then he's picked it up and he's gotten better. Like, he's a solid guy, and if he is if he's your slot guy, if you've got like DeSean Jackson and Jeffrey on the outside and Aguilar's your 3 in the slot, that's terrifying.
Yep, absolutely. All right, there's some talented teams the Packers are actually playing this year.
Yeah.
I wasn't really happy going through this whole list because I looked at it and I was like, "Well, they're good. Well, they're good." Like, god, they're good. What the hell? Like, they're coming off a bad season. They should have the easier record, like, easier schedule. They got a pretty solid schedule, so
yeah, and our road schedule is kind of tough when I was looking at the schedule and going through. I was reminded of that, and I was like, oh, good. This is good coming off of a bad year. Tough road schedule, playing a lot of good teams. Love to see that.
The one solid, though, I do enjoy the week 11 bye. That's solid. Yeah. I enjoy it. I think that's well-timed. It's not like week 5 or anything like that. So, but let's move on. Let's hit our list. We each made a top 10 list of the best wide receivers the Packers will face this year. So I'm sure we'll hear a lot of the same names, hear a lot of the same stuff, but we're going to go 10 to 1, and we'll each kind of go from give our 10s, 9s, 8s, and any comments. Please feel free to make fun of each other as this goes on, because, you know, Dusty won't be able to hold his tongue, I'm sure. I have a couple of mine, so.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. Emmanuel Sanders. That's all I'm going to say, Dusty.
I helped you out, Steve. I helped you out.
You screwed me in the beginning. I didn't have him on my list.
Yeah, no, that was, I set, yeah, I know, I set you up pretty good.
All right, we'll start number 10. Sarah, give us your number 10 wide receiver the Green Bay Packers will face this season.
Okay, I had Golden Tate as my number 10. I think typically he would have been a little bit higher on my list, but the fact that he is on the Giants now, I don't know how much of a threat he will be since the Giants are such a mess. I think that is a game that the Packers are going to win, so I don't know how much he is going to affect the game. He might score a touchdown here and there, but he's obviously going to be getting a lot of targets on their offense. He's, since Odell Beckham is gone, and he will kind of be filling that role a little bit. So that's who I had as my number 10.
Yeah, I actually was kind of surprised by my 10. I've got DJ Moore in Carolina. He had a rookie year last year. There's some hype on him kind of coming out. He did really, really well last year. 82 targets, 55 catches, 788 yards. Only 2 touchdowns, but touchdowns notoriously hard to predict. The Panthers, throughout the time Cam Newton has been there, feel like I've just had a very, very weak receiving core. And I don't necessarily think that they have a very good good receiving core.
They've had Greg Olsen.
Well, I mean, as far as receivers. As far as, like, actual receivers.
That was a joke, Dusty. But, okay, keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going.
And Kelvin Benjamin. And Kelvin Benjamin, Steve.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he had a tight end body. I mean, come on.
He had an offensive tackle body. Let's call it what it is. Like, and even this year, they don't have the best core. I mean, it's DJ Moore, Jarius Wright, Torrey Smith, Chris Hogan. Like, it's not like that's a strong, strong core. But DJ Moore, for a rookie, put up really good numbers in that offense. I think he's just going to get better. And so it's kind of one of those projecting him to do better than those numbers last year. I think he's going to kind of break out. So, yeah, I had him on the outside looking in. And the more I went through it, I think DJ Moore's going to have a really, really solid year. So he's number 10.
No, I think he showed a lot. Like, he had a lot of flashes last year. Definitely, I had him in fantasy for one of my teams. So I was always kind of keeping track on him.
Okay.
And like you said, the more the season went on, the more, you know, Cam came to trust him and throw him the ball more. So, yeah, he was on my right on the fringe for me. But with number 10, I went with Golden Tate as well as Sarah. Same type of things. He's got the talent. He's always been effective, as annoying and as much as I've hated him through the Seahawks years, through the Lions years. He's just a damn good receiver. And those skills aren't going to just fall off the table, even if Eli Manning's throwing you the ball. He's still going to be their number one target. So when you're still the number one target, I still think he's still got an edge over a couple of the guys that I had my honorable mention. So Golden Tate, number 10. Sarah, hit us off, number 9.
I had Alshon Jeffrey of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I was reading up a lot on this, and something I saw was that they believed he bulked up and got even bigger in the offseason. So he's about 6'3", 218 pounds now, and they, in some of their OTAs and mandatory practices, a lot of the media was writing up about how he was standing out, that he looked bigger, faster, and everything was just significant in the improvements that he made. So I think he'll definitely be able to make an impact. Don't really know how much, since there had been some injuries in the past, but I definitely think he's someone to look out for.
I have an Eagle at my 9, but not him. I've got DeSean Jackson. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, he's been in the league for a very long time now. 11 years, I believe he's been in the league, 10 or 11. he still like just seems like he hasn't lost a step. You know, he had kind of bounced around a little with the he had the Bucks last year, and he had Fitzpatrick and Winston throwing the ball, and still did well. He did very good things. He's done very good things his entire career.
He did good things with Fitzpatrick.
Yes, that's true.
He did good things with Winston, Fitzpatrick. And then when they said Winston's our guy, he was like, I need to leave.
I would very much like to leave this place. And he did. And now he has Wentz thrown on the ball, which is exciting.
Live in Florida. What the hell? Like, nah, no, no thanks.
Ooh. Ooh, Steve. Ooh. So, yeah, I think Jackson, I mean, Steve, you kind of touched on that core already with those three guys. I think that's it's kind of a solid grouping there. But Jackson is still the speedster. He's still the guy that takes the top off, and he's still one of the best deep threats in the league. So I've got him at my nine.
I took Kenny Golladay, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. I know you guys are probably a little bit higher on him, and I think he's an ascending player, but comparatively to everybody above him, I feel like they've all proven things more and more. So he's got that opportunity to rise and, you know, become that true number one wide receiver for the Lions. But I mean, all the flashes you saw, all the talent, the height, like the skills, the skill set that he has, he is definitely in the top 10 wide receivers. And he's got a lot of room to grow quickly, I think, to get near the top five list, or like if he continues to play well into next year. So Kenny Golladay for me is an ascending player, kind of like DJ Moore for you. He's definitely on his way up, and he's definitely got the eyes of Matthew Stafford. So I think far and away he's one of the best talents in the NFC North. But he is my number nine wide receiver. Number eight, Sarah.
I had Golladay as number eight. So that basically what you said, some stats last year, he had 70 receptions for 1,063 yards and 5 touchdowns. So that's obviously a huge breakout season for him. Pretty much following up with everything and agree with what you said, Steve, and how he has the potential to work his way up into close to that top five tier. And I think this year he has potential to even push towards the double digit touchdowns. And he looked good last year, and it looked like he's only going to get better.
Yeah. My eight, I've got Allen Robinson, a little lower than I thought. I think I've got Golladay a little higher. So I'm a little higher on him than you guys are, but I mean, he's very, very good. Definitely one of those guys that when he was up in free agency, and the Packers were making a run at him, not only was I upset that the Packers didn't get him, I was upset that the Bears did. And he showed why last year. I mean, he makes tough contested catches. He's a very good route runner. He's still got speed, very good hands. I really, really like him. I think part of it, I'm a little lower. I think maybe I'm a little lower on him than I thought he was. Like, not necessarily just as a receiver, but just because I don't like Trubisky. I think it's kind of limited what he can do with Trubisky a little bit. I mean, even last year, you know, it's 755 catches for 754 yards. Like, it was not an amazing season by any stretch of the imagination, but a solid season. And, you know, as a number one guy, you could do a lot worse. So I went Allen Robinson at eight.
The consistency doesn't bother you with Trubisky?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I mean, if you got – who's your number nine and number 10?
DeSean Jackson and DJ Moore.
Okay. I'm just like, DeSean Jackson produces way more than Allen Robinson does. I was just.
He does. I think I like, you know, Jackson, I think more of like a deep ball guy. And honestly, Robinson's catch rate isn't a whole lot better than Jackson's is. I like Robinson's skill set a little more than I like DeSean Jackson, I think. I don't know. I was kind of trying to rate based on how I liked receivers, but then I think some quarterback bias kind of creeped in there as well. So I had him a little lower.
That's definitely something that plays into it. I agree. Yeah. But. All right. So here will be the first thing. Well, you guys would yell at me, whatever. Number eight, I have Tyreek Hill.
Boo.
Boo.
Well, we can't have the same list.
Wrong.
Boring.
Wrong.
I know we can't have the same list, but like your list has to be at least like kind of right.
We don't even know if he's going to play.
It doesn't matter.
He's going to play.
No, you don't know that.
It doesn't matter.
He's not. He's suspended for 8 weeks. He's not playing against the Packers.
We have no way of knowing that. We have zero way of knowing that.
Yeah, but if he's suspended for 6 or 7 weeks, then he'll play. So They said 6 to 8 weeks. So,
well, then mine's in the realm of possibility too, Sarah. And even when if he's suspended for 8 weeks, I mean, he's still one of the top guys. I know you guys have him up way higher, and I know he's very talented. But with the potential to be suspended, the potential for all of those things, I knocked him down the list as the guys that most likely the Packers will see, and he's kind of up in the air right now if they will see him. So screw both of you. You suck. Let's move to number seven.
We suck, but Tyreek Hill does not.
Oh, really?
So,
really?
As a receiver. As a person, he sucks a lot.
As a receiver, he is very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good to know you two are standing behind Tyreek Hill when I've knocked him
as out. A receiver. I cannot stress this enough, Steve. As a receiver.
All right, let's move to number seven.
I had DeSean Jackson. Again, a lot of similarity in our list. Basically the same thing you said, Dusty. I see him still as he can be a deep threat, and he's just athletic. He's quick, speedy, has great footwork, and so with that, he poses a threat with Jeffrey in there, and like their wide receiver lineup, like we talked about already, there's just a lot of potential for them to do damage, and yeah, he's my number seven.
And I went with Amari Cooper. So Amari Cooper, and this is, if he has a big season like he did the second half, let's say he could jump up. I don't know, man. We talked about this. This list is stacked. This might be as high as Amari Cooper can get. Like what he did with Dallas and what he did not only for himself, but for that team when he went to Dallas is just absolutely insane. Like completely turned that team around. He had games that second half of the season. He had games of 180 receiving yards and 217 receiving yards, which is just insane. And the biggest thing to me, I think, you know, one of my biggest issues with Cooper, he's ridiculously smooth. He's so smooth as a route runner. Just like somehow violent and smooth at the same time. Just a very, very good route runner. The thing that always bothered me with him is his drops. And I don't necessarily think he's solved that problem. I still think he has drop issues. But these are his catch rates for his first 4 year. First year, 55.4%. Second year, 62.9%. Third year, this is like the lowest of it, was 50%. 50% catch rate. And some of that was drops. I don't have his drop rates in front of me. Some of that's drops and some of that's just Derek Carr. 2018, 70%. Now, I don't think he's going to catch 70% of the balls that come his way, but there was a noticeable difference when he went to Dallas. Prescott is a more accurate passer, or at least more willing to go downfield, I guess, and better on the downfield passes than Carr is. And so, I mean, I think him in that offense with Prescott throwing him the ball is terrifying. The difference was it was night and day after they got him. So, yeah, I got Cooper at my seven.
I took DeSean Jackson. At first, I had Emmanuel Sanders because I made my list. Dusty asked me why Emmanuel Sanders wasn't on my list, and I had freaked out. I was like, how did I forget about Emmanuel Sanders? He wasn't on ESPN's depth chart. What the hell? And then we went through this whole thing and then figured out that Emmanuel Sanders, what did he do? Towards Achilles?
Achilles last December.
Okay. So, yeah, don't worry about Emmanuel Sanders, guys. Packers don't have to worry about that. DeSean Jackson, though, like we said, if you're going from Jameis Winston to Carson Wentz, I mean, I don't care if you're a year older, you still have that. Like, he's got that deep playability. He still can. One thing I like about DeSean Jackson, he's much more deceptive than everybody. Like, everybody, oh, he's that deep threat. No, like, he runs good routes. He still can get those intermediate balls. He can line up on the outside. He can line out on the inside and be effective at any level. So he's still got it. And having Carson Wentz, having Alshon Jeffrey, and having Nelson Aguilar, like, so they can't key on one of them, is going to be huge for him. So I still think he can bring it, and that's why I put him at number seven.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier Aguilar in the slot and Jackson and Jeffrey on the outside. You could move those guys around, too. I mean, Aguilar's obviously played on the outside. DeSean Jackson in the slot is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It's not to the Devontae level of like juking and with the feet or anything like that, but it's still, you watch it and like they have no clue where he's going, which is that's got to be like just such a horrible feeling as a slot cornerback is to line up against one of the guys and go, oh no, like he could take one step this way. And if I don't react correctly, like he's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, number six.
I had Amari Cooper. Night and day, like Dusty said. I remember hearing about the trade, not even thinking really anything of it. It was such a meme at that point because everyone was like, he drops passes all the time, like he's terrible, all this, and we're really just like ripping on him. And then he just kind of was like, whatever, and then went and balled out in Dallas. And that was insane. I remember watching some of those games and thinking to myself, like, who is he? Like, he was completely different. The team itself looked completely different. And that's definitely someone to look out for. And then you have to think, now Cobb's in Dallas, and you think about that. That's just going to be an emotional aspect of the game itself when the two teams meet up. Then you have Amari Cooper and everything else to worry about. So that's just definitely something that stood out to me. And the Packers oftentimes, no matter if all of us know which player is good, if all of us know which player they're going to throw it to, they still somehow always manage to let that person do something great. And so I totally see that happening with Amari Cooper, and it's a little bit concerning, but I think we can handle it the right way.
Yeah, my six, you guys already talked about him, is Galladay. I mean, I like, he's a guy. I mean, the numbers he put up last year were insane, and like, he's, it feels like he's just getting started. Like, 1,000-yard season last year, 5 touchdowns, yard per reception of 15.2, which is very, very good. I don't know. I feel like he's going to terrorize the NFC North for years to come, and what we saw last year is just kind of scratching the surface. And so I'm going, yeah, Galladay at 6. You guys had him slightly lower, but I mean, I think he was all in all of our top 10, so we're all kind of on the same page. Kenny Galladay, actually good.
Yeah,
I had him on my fantasy team. He was my flex, and he got me some mad points.
My number 6 was Alshon Jeffery, for all the reasons that have already been discussed. But when you add DeSean Jackson and you have teams that cannot key on him quite as much, I think that opens him up even more. So, talented guy. I think there's a couple of guys definitely that are still ahead of him that are more talented. But that combo of Alshon Jeffery and DeSean Jackson is kind of scary as a 1-2 and throwing Nelson Aguilar. But now the fact that they can't, you know, throw safety help over the top for Jeffery, I think that kind of opens him up a little bit. So a healthy Carson Wentz, that's just a good thing for those wide receivers. I mean, if you remember him pre-surgery, like, that guy was a freaking magician of, like, getting out of bad situations and then dropping dimes. So I'm expecting big things from that Eagles offense this year. Here we go. Top 5. Sarah, who you got?
I had Thielen at 5, and this was a little bit – I was kept moving him and Diggs around because they're both so good and they're so different. And so I ended up going with Adam at 5. I feel like he's just so good technically. He pays attention to little details that you wouldn't think about, and he does all of the little things right, which allow him to make plays. He has great footwork, and he's crafty is a word I would use to describe him. And he's a bigger guy, so he's strong. He can shake guys off of him if he needs to. So definitely someone to look out for. He have to see him twice a year. So just someone that's super talented and definitely one to watch.
Would you also call him a gym rat?
Someone call him that?
Brings his lunch pail. Coach's kid. First guy in, last guy out.
So it's pretty much anything. Anytime there's a white wide receiver, you know, gym rat, like all those things that Dusty always
does. Deceptive speed, Steve. Deceptively fast.
You don't see it coming, and then all of a sudden he's gone.
It's like, you know how no one ever thought Jory Nelson was fast? He was sneaky fast, Steve.
Sneaky. Like, it got up on you really quickly.
I also had Thielen at my 5 for all the reasons Sarah said. I mean, he said he pays attention to the details. The dude runs routes. For the guys in my top 10, he was the guy with the highest catch rate last year, which was like 74% catch rate, which is very, very good. I mean, 113 receptions, 1,373 yards. Like, he puts up numbers. He's very, very good. Like, you can't double both those guys, Diggs and Thielen. And I mean, that Sarah talked about the Vikings wide receiving core at the top, and those two guys are good. There's not a whole lot of depth behind them, but it doesn't matter if those two guys are healthy, because you can pay attention to both those guys and they'll still find ways to burn you. Thielen's a monster, man. I hate having to face him twice a year.
The first time we've all agreed on something. Number five, Adam Thielen.
How about that?
I'm impressed. I mean, I really don't have anything more to add. It's, you guys pretty much have it covered. He's a super talented freak athlete that works hard at what he does and is really good at what he does. So, I mean, I think we can pretty much leave it at that. Sarah, hit us with your number four.
I had Diggs at four. Kind of, I've already touched on this a few times throughout our list. He's just a really good wide receiver. He's super quick. His footwork is insane, and the routes that he runs are unreal sometimes. If you look at film of him beating guys off the line, it's just insane what he's able to do. And just like what you said, can't double both of them. If you do, they're still going to beat you. And that, I think, totally defines Diggs. He's almost like he wants to just make the person guarding him just look terrible. And he just wants to do it in the almost flashiest and best way possible. So,
yeah. Actually, I want to talk about Thielen again for a minute. Do you remember when Kirk Cousins yelled at Adam Thielen last year? Because he was like, I can't sit back there all day while you run your route. And you're like, shut up, dude. It's Adam Thielen. He knows how to run routes and get open. And you're Kirk Cousins and you grill your steaks with the plastic still on. So just get, like, just shut up. Just shut up, Kirk Cousins. No one likes you. No one on the team, probably your family, doesn't like you. I don't know.
I've never felt closer to Kirk Cousins in my entire life.
Either way.
This is what I can talk to on, like, a daily basis, like, between, like, Twitter DMs and all this kind of stuff between Dusty. Like, Kirk, I feel for you, Kirk, right now. I'm sorry. Like, he went pretty hard on you.
I've never liked Kirk Cousins. I've never liked Kirk Cousins and him yelling at Adam Thielen for, like, taking too long on a route. I was like, you don't know what you're talking about, Kirk Cousins. Anyway, I apologize. My number four is Keenan Allen. I feel like Keenan Allen is somewhat slept on just because, he said that he kind of had early injury history. Dude's still only 27 and just insane. Like, just.
I think you're sleeping on him right now.
When I see lists of people like talking about like top five receivers in the NFL, I don't know that I ever really see Allen's name listed, but he belongs.
He
belongs in the conversation. And I feel like that's not brought up enough.
Okay. So wait, let me just get this. His name belongs in the conversation of top five in the NFL, but you have him at number four against the team the Packers are playing.
Like, I legitimately might have four of my top five the Packers are playing this year. This year.
Okay, then who's the fifth?
Hopkins.
Okay.
Like, I think I go A.B. Hopkins at 1-2, and then after that it might just play out the way it plays out, which means, I'm sorry, everyone, I've got Davante Adams sitting just outside my top five.
Oof.
Which is a conversation for another time. I don't want to open that up.
Yeah, everybody, please feel free to yell at Dusty. He yells at me all the time during this. You take out your hate. He just said Davante Adams is not a top five receiver in the NFL, and he is so mistaken. So please, Dusty Evely.
It's going to shock a whole lot of people. But there are a lot of good receivers in the NFL. A lot of good receivers in the NFL. You know who's really good?
I think I'm going to tweet Keenan Allen. Davante Adams and tell him that.
I think Keenan Allen, if it motivates him, cool by me. Keenan Allen's tremendous. Just 27 years old, put up close to 1,200 yards last year, 71% catch rate. At this point, we're just talking about guys running routes. Keenan Allen running routes is just a thing of beauty. Just an absolute, the dude is a technician. Just tremendous watching that dude work. So, and he's still got, Rivers is still very good. So that tandem right there is absolutely terrifying. I don't like facing Keenan Allen. He scares me.
Number four, I went with Amari Cooper. I think you guys undersold him just a little bit. I think, he coming out of Alabama, he had all the press in the world and then, had a big first year, kind of fell off. And I think a lot of that had to do with Derek Carr not being quite motivated. But man alive, did he just blow up after getting to Dallas. And that's Dak Prescott's guy. So he is looking for his. It's kind of reminiscent of like Brett Favre and Sterling Sharp. Of he's got eyes for Sterling Sharp and Sterling Sharp only. So that's who like Dak Prescott has eyes for Amari Cooper. Like he knows that that's going to make their offense go. Pair that with Ezekiel Elliott and like they can go. So I think I'm a little higher on Cooper. Maybe it doesn't hurt that he was on my fantasy team as one of my keepers, and I almost traded him right before he got traded, and then all of a sudden he just blew my team up, like, in a good way. So Amari Cooper, my number four. Now let's get to the fun part and hit the top three. Sarah, what do you got, number three?
I had Keenan Allen as number three, basically for all the reasons that Dusty said. He is just a monster. And when I was looking at stuff for the list and looking at some stats and articles about him, I found a really great article that the Chargers actually wrote about him on their website. And the opening line was this, which I feel like is a perfect way to describe him as a player. Keenan Allen takes one step off the line of scrimmage, and he's already laughing to himself. He knows he has his man beat before the cornerback can even react. So I felt like that was very just spot on with how great he is and just what he's able to do. He knows the second that he lines up across someone that he's going to beat him. And if when he does, he's going to make a play.
Yeah,
I like it.
My number three is Diggs. I mean, it's already been covered, but super shifty, great hands, tremendous route runner. The ability to beat anyone at any given time from any given place and make it look easy. I think of, and granted, you know, he's older, but I think of the route he ran on Tremont Williams last year. Was that in week two? That corner route where he sold it inside and then just was running the corner before anyone knew what was going on. And it just looks so easy. Just looks so easy. So Diggs at three.
I kind of want to switch my list because I have the same thing as Dusty, and it kind of annoys the crap out of me. But I also have Stephon Diggs at number three. Everything we've all said, like, that dude's just – he's a technician. He's no Devontae Adams, but he's a small step below when it comes to, you know, footwork and just selling people with your feet, which is something that not a lot of NFL wide receivers are really great at. And – Adams, Diggs, those are two of the best in the NFL. And running, like, I don't need to go into it. We all know, like, he's just a talented dude. And it sucks that they have the number three and number five wide receivers for most of us on our top 10 list. So Diggs, number three. And all right, let's go. I think we all know who number one is, but let's see who everybody else's number two is.
I think me and Sarah have the same one.
Yep, Tyreek Hill. I didn't.
Cool.
I didn't
cool. You guys. You guys support child abusers. That's cool. That's cool.
I think as a football player only.
Shut up, Steve.
He's a very talented person, and
you know I can't do that.
He could potentially, at his suspension or his hypothetical suspension, could be from 6 to 8 weeks. The Packers play the Chiefs in Kansas City week 8, so he could be back. This could potentially be his first game back. And if that is the case, that is a scary sight for the Green Bay Packers. In Kansas City, Hill's coming back for the first time. I'm pretty sure that's a night game, right? Is that a primetime game?
I think it is. I believe so. I didn't look it up, but yeah, I think they've got
I'm pretty got sure game. It is. So that's just
they a, do, yeah.
Okay, so that's just a big stage where he could come back and just go off and just totally make us look terrible, and I'm really scared about that. So hopefully he will not be back by then, because if he is, I see potential trouble there.
Yeah, we were really hoping that the news came down before this, just so we would kind of know if the Packers are going to face him or not. But I'm under the assumption they're going to, and if they do, yeah, I mean, kind of like I said, like this kind of falls some of these guys, some of the best receivers in the league. I'd go if we were doing top five receivers in the league, it's the same list. It's the 1-2 is the same exact thing. It's and Hill at number two. I mean, what he did last year, you know, with Mahomes pulling the trigger, you know, close to 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns, like just his yards per attempt, not yards per reception, yards per attempt were 10.8. His yards per reception were 17. And he's not, I mean, he's fast, but he's not just a deep threat. I mean, they run the guy. I don't have his rushing numbers in front of me, but they run that guy in jet sweeps. They throw on bubble screens. He can beat you a variety of ways. One of those ways is just running directly past you. We already touched on it. Bad person. Terrible, terrible person. If we're talking about best people in the league, guess what? Tyreek Hill is not in the top five. May shock you to learn. Not in the top five. But if we're talking just pure receiving ability on guys that the Packers may face this year, yeah, he's clearly number two. And he's only 25 years old. That's terrifying. But again, bad person, but number two in terms of skill in the NFL.
You guys are morons. It just came. It just came out. He's been suspended for 8 games.
So. No, you're kidding. You're lying.
He is.
Yeah.
I checked before I started talking because I knew he was going to pull that crap.
Okay, just to clarify for everyone listening, there was no announcement on Tyreek Hill's suspension. I just made that up to make them look like morons. But it didn't really work. Right. Number two, I have Keenan Allen. I think he is just such a stud of a wide receiver that never gets talked about. You know, you get Antonio Brown, you get Nuke, you get all those guys that are right up there, and he just quietly goes about doing his job and doing it almost like better than 99% of the people at his position. And the fact that he has such a relationship with the father of 1,200 children, they just have that connection. Like, they just know he knows where he's going to be, and that ball will be placed where in a good spot for him to catch. You know, reminiscent of Rodgers and Jordy, of like, they have that mental connection of like, if I throw the ball, I just have that trust that he's going to be there. So I love Keenan Allen. I think he is just, he's not talked about enough as how talented of a wide receiver he is. And that's why I picked him at number two. So who wants to talk number one about Mr. Big Checks?
It actually, like, he's so good, but it pains me so much to put him at the top of my list because he sucks as a person. And I went on a rant like a couple months ago when we talked about him. I don't remember why we talked about him, but I just –
that was the whole thing about who
– were they going to sign him?
Yes. I was the advocate for please God no, because
– me and you both, Sarah. We were both on the same page on that.
No, you were more in the middle.
So Antonio Brown is the guy that we are talking about, but he is number one on the list. That was an easy choice for me, but it pained me because he just – he bothers me a lot. I don't know why. He just, his attitude and his whole, I deserve this, 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 and this. But then you go to Oakland, like, I don't know. It just, he
didn't have a choice in the matter.
I know, but it's just like, I don't know. It just made me feel weird. He bugs me a lot. The whole incident with like the chair and the kid is weird. Yeah. So, but he's, enough about him. Sorry, I went on a negative rant there. He is a fantastic football player, and he is unreal. And I think no matter what team he's on, he is going to be a star. And I think it'll be exciting, since last year we didn't see him like for a very significant chunk of time. It'll be exciting to see him back. I see what he can do. I know for fantasy football, that's going to be a really interesting pick because I think it's going to produce points, but I don't know. So we'll see. He's the best receiver in the league for me, for many people, and scares me a little bit that our team's going to have to go against him. What week are we playing them again?
7.
Okay, so I feel like that's also a prime time for injuries with the Packers. We always have injuries. So hopefully some of our defensive
guys. New coaching
guys,
system's not going to happen. Nope.
That's true. No injuries. Everyone will be healthy all the time.
Only the coaches will get injured.
Yeah, only the staff will be injured. But AB, he's at the top. He's a great football player, great receiver, but not such a great guy. But hey, that seems to be a trend with some of the people at the top of the list here.
Only the top of your list, not the top of my list.
the negatives you can say about him is that he's 30 years old. He's short, I guess he's 5'10", but really it's 30 years old. He's on the wrong side of 30. And so it's kind of one of those, well, at some point his skills are going to go down, but until they do,
technically he's not on a side of 30. He is 30. So
like, he's 30 plus some days. He's 30 plus some days.
I'm just telling you, if you're going by,
so
like,
he's, I'm not, I'm going by his actual age, his full age, which is, he's almost 31. He's almost 31. He's, but as of this recording, 30 years old, 351 days old. So he is almost 31.
Happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday, AB. His birthday is July 10th, if you want to send him something. He's just all the stuff we've been talking about. You know, the footwork, The route running, the hands, the just making you miss, the speed, like knowing when to speed up and slow down in a route, knowing how to set a guy up, all of that stuff, like just a technician of the highest order, like just an absolutely insane receiver. I mean, the numbers, he skipped out on the team. I think he played 15 games last year because he just didn't show up for week 16 when the Steelers still kind of had a shot at the playoffs, which that seems bad. That's probably not great.
He left during the game?
I think he just didn't show up.
Games than that.
No, he played 15. I think he didn't show up for some practices or something, but he didn't show up for that last game. I think he showed up for like the last practice and then just didn't show up for the last game.
I knew he didn't show up because they like needed to win and he didn't show up and it was bad.
So. Yeah, I just decided he didn't really feel like it, I guess. But, I mean, he's still – numbers are bonkers. 168 targets, 104 catches, almost 1,300 yards, 1,297 yards, 15 touchdowns, a yard per reception of 12.5. He has had, 100 receptions in 6 straight seasons? 100 plus, including his, like, he had back-to-back years, 2014 and 2015, 129 and 136 catches. That's insane. And, like, the only thing, and I can't knock him for this because it's the quarterback, I kind of wonder how he's going to do with Carr. Roethlisberger is obviously kind of, I mean, if we're going to talk about bad people, Roethlisberger towards the top of that list, but that dude could still gun it downfield, and even with his skills kind of going down a little bit, he almost still like was
themed to NFL.
Almost like there's a theme. But, you know, Rodgers, bad teammate. Roethlisberger could still gun it down the field, and even if maybe the accuracy wasn't where it was, he's still willing to take those chances. Derek Carr has the arm, is not willing to take those chances. So I'm curious to see how Brown does in this offense and with that quarterback. But that being said, if we're just talking about pure skill, until those skills start going down, he's number one on the list. By on everyone's list, with a bullet. He's just insane. Just a bonkers, like a possible generational wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no argument. I mean, we kind of talked about it all. He's a bad, not a great guy, but he just is insanely talented. And as you said, like the first thing that comes to my mind when he got traded to Oakland was, oh God, Derek Carr's his quarterback. This is going to be interesting. Like, you know, Amari Cooper had issues with Carr and connecting with him. So I'm just going to be, it's going to be something fun to watch. And especially since they're going to be on Hard Knocks, I'm going to be,
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I'm excited to kind of see if he blows up during practice at him, if he's not throwing, like, you know, all that kind of stuff that can go down. Like, you know, he will not have an issue voicing his opinion. So it should be pretty interesting and fun to watch. I'm glad that the Raiders are on there. I think that's pretty cool. That's actually something I would love to – maybe we'll do a poll question out of this. Would you guys ever want the Packers on Hard Knocks?
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
I would love it. I would like – yeah. I'd love the more – like more access to it. I'd love – I mean, you think of all the Packers fans, that would be – you get so much more in depth. Like I feel like for the amount of reporters and times that they talk to the players and all that stuff – we still don't get a lot of any like behind like, the scenes anything.
It's true, but you also have to like the thing that the angle I'm taking on it is Hard Knocks is a reality show, and they cut it as such, which means that like you're not getting like the stuff that we as fans of the Packers might necessarily find interesting. You're getting like, oh, this guy looked at this guy a little weird, and then let's take this quote from this guy out of context about this other guy. Like
Packers Twitter is already a reality. Like
I was going to say, that feels like what I already deal with.
I feel like that's a majority of the Packers would want to.
Think of how much worse it gets if you get a show and you have like 200 hours of footage and then they edit it down to like 1 hour of a TV show per week for nothing, no other reason than manufactured drama. Now it's the Raiders and it's Gruden and it's Brown and it's going to be insane. But think about that if it's the Packers. Like there's enough like there's enough like interactions in any given week that you can throw out of context and say, look at how this is going. Like Packers Twitter's terrible now. I'm just
on Hard Knocks. We'd find out who shot Aaron Rodgers in the face.
There probably would have been some footage.
I'm permanently logging off of Twitter, I think, if the Packers ever get Hard Knocks, because it's going to be an absolute nightmare.
Do you believe that it's you do not want it or Packers fans don't want it? because I'm willing to do a bet on this one if you think the Packers fans don't.
I've already lost a bet, so I'm not doing that.
I know, I'm fully aware. You already paid, so I'm really happy.
I am very much against it, and you two are for it, which means I would lose that bet real hard. I think most Packers fans would be for it. I personally am against it, just because I feel like it's manufactured drama for the sake of manufactured drama. You're not getting the true behind the scenes, which if it's that, I'd be all for it. I'd love to see the behind the scenes. I'd love to see how some of that stuff works. It's more manufactured drama than actual true behind the scenes. I'm just not interested in that. But that's just me. That's me.
Stupid.
Wrong. It's fair.
Yep. Wrong. Stupid. Don't like it.
So yeah, I'm not betting.
Let's have everybody run down their list one more time. Sarah, do you have yours in front of you?
I've got mine. I got. On. Let me go. Yeah. You want? I'll go. Okay. Go ahead. We'll go 10-1. So DJ Moore, DeSean Jackson, Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, Kenny Golladay, Adam Thielen, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, and Antonio Brown.
Right. I got mine now. Golden Tate, Alshon Jeffrey, Kenny Golladay, DeSean Jackson, Amari Cooper, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, and Antonio Brown.
And finish it up, we've got Golden Tate, Kenny Golladay, Tyreek Hill, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Adam Thielen, Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, and Antonio Brown. So if I am correct, you're the only one who had Allen Robinson on their list.
That's kind of shocking. That's kind of shocking.
He was my runner. He was in my honorable mention with Cobb and with DJ Moore. But
okay,
I don't know. Maybe it's because he's a Bears guy, and he hasn't. And Trubisky's his quarterback, and he hasn't been able to produce for like 3 years in a row.
He was injured for one of those. Yeah.
But I mean, his Bears season, it hasn't been crazy. Like. Really good to the point of what'd you have him at, like 7?
Robinson, I had at 8.
Yeah. Again, you're wrong.
You know who had a shocking
like right outside the top 10.
I disagree. Okay. I disagree, but I don't take issue with either of you guys. You know who had a shockingly good season last year when I was looking at the numbers? With Sterling Shepard for the Giants.
Like he was on my fantasy team too.
Yeah, I had him honorable mention, like just sitting just outside. Honestly, I like him better than Tate.
Didn't he break his ankle at the end of the year, though, or was that the year before?
I think that was the year before.
I think it was the year before, but I'm not.
Because they just signed him to a contract extension. Pretty positive.
I liked him when I think I liked him more when Beckham was there.
Yeah,
just his skill set fit well, but still, he had a better year than I thought he did.
It's just it's tough to. With Eli Manning throwing the ball, like they were so hit and miss last year all of a sudden there'd be games where he'd throw for 150 yards and Saquon Barkley would run for 200. So,
I mean, not to get off on anything here, but I don't know if you guys have seen the Eli Manning training camp stuff where there's just no defense on the field and he's overthrowing guys. It's made my heart so happy. Just so happy.
Have you seen some of the pictures with I forget the name of the kid they just drafted.
Daniel Jones.
They look so eerily creepy, like dopey, face.
I will say, like, he got booed at a Yankees game. Was it Daniel Jones? It's like, dude, what are you doing? He hasn't played a snap yet. What are we doing?
But to be fair, the Giants also put out check out what Daniel Jones is doing in mini camps. And it was like screen passes.
Hype video. That was one of my favorites. Yeah.
It was just like, literally screen passes and, you know,
he threw
hooks and
he threw two downfield like further than 20 yards, but it was to a receiver who was standing still, like didn't lead him. And it was just a guy that was standing
there. I'm sorry. I actually can throw a football decently well to the point if there's nobody covering a guy, I got a decent chance to hit him in stride.
I forgot about that. And that came from the Giants main account. Yeah. Like I saw it first and I thought it was a joke. I thought someone was making fun of it. And I was like, no, this is a hype video from the Giants account. That was tremendous.
Mm-hmm. No, that was some good work from the PR team. Just not thinking things through at all.
It's like a young Blake Bortles out there.
Reminds me of Blaine Gabbert.
See the moxie on that kid?
Did you hear? I'm sorry, this is going off on another tangent. Did you hear the story? Jack Del Rio was apparently at the buffet when they drafted Blake Gabbert. He's like, I was filling up my plate and figured we had a couple hours before our drafting. And all of a sudden, I hear with the 11th pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, Blaine Gabbert. He's like, what the hell?
Wait, was that Gabbert or Bortles?
No, that was Gabbert.
That was Gabbert. That was, okay, that was Gabbert, yeah.
Bortles went, like, 3 when he went, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's some bad quarterbacks in Jacksonville. Yeah, that story just came out today or yesterday or something. That was tremendous.
Yeah, that was a funny one. Before we do go, I do have to talk to you guys. I tried a new Oreo combination, so I got to see if you guys have done this one yet. But if you remember, like, Dusty will remember this. I don't know if Sarah will, but the thing that would go in your lunchbox that was, like, 3 or 4 crackers, and then you get the cheese spread and the little red thing to spread the cheese on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Oreo has one of those, except they have the filling as the cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the cookie stick is actually like the cracker. So you get 6 little mini cookie sticks. So you kind of like pull it. It's shockingly really good.
Yeah, like, my mom used to pack that for me in my lunchbox when I was in elementary school. The Oreo ones. That was like my dessert.
What?
In my lunchbox.
That was I thought those were new.
No.
I think I've seen those, but I've never tried it.
Oh. Yeah, they're really good. I used, like, when I was a kid, I used to have them in my lunchbox. And then, like, I have had the cheese ones, too. But I have definitely had the Oreo ones.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend them. They're, okay. It's not the same as an Oreo cookie, but, I mean, it's still a nice little snack, a little treat. So, Dusty, definitely feel free. We're going to end this because I'm thinking about snacks and foods, and I've gone on a diet, so I'm trying to not be as fat as I am. So I'm now thinking about snacks all the time that I can't have. But what was your number one go-to, like, had to have in your lunchbox snack? I know I'm putting a lot on you right now. So I will start off with, because this was like my favorite of all time, was the fruit by the foot. Where you would get the 3 feet and then you would just have to like pull, like, and then everybody had their own way of getting it all off. And, you know, I had one friend who would just peel the whole thing off, put it into a ball, and then shove the whole ball into his mouth. That was always a good one.
He sounds like a cool guy.
Oh, he was a cool guy. He was a lot of fun. We could get him to do all sorts of stuff at the lunch table, and he would do it. So
the best kind of guy. So I didn't have a whole lot of snacks in my lunchbox as a kid, at least that I can recall. It was a very long time ago. The one that other kids got that I was always like, man, that seems awesome. I would love that. Was Fun Dip. Loved me some Fun Dip.
Fun Dip is a snack.
It's a candy.
Listen, I was in elementary school and it looked awesome and I wished I had it. And that's, I don't care. Listen, dude, Fun Dip or whatever, your fruit by the foot, also kind of candy, right?
Fruit by the foot is like,
it's like a roll up. It's like a fruit roll up. That's also candy. That's also candy.
It's not candy.
There's
going to be multiple polls on this because
it's like a glorified. It's like a slightly healthier Airhead. It's all it is. It's all it is. We'll fight you on that.
I mean, we can do some more bets if you want to lose some more whiskey or bourbon.
I don't want to bet. I want to fight you in the streets. I want to fist fight with you in the streets of Green Bay. Is what I want. Just outside Lambeau, you and me. This fight by the dumpsters over this. I don't want to bet. I just want blood. I want blood.
It's super classy.
Yeah, thank you. Mm. Also a snack pack. I'm down for a snack pack. If we're talking about snacks, I would also be down for a snack pack.
I'm getting hungry.
Sarah, what is some, like, what's the millennial snack that you enjoyed?
Okay, so anyone that knows me, like, you can literally ask anyone that I grew up with, whether it was elementary, middle school, or high school, but my mom would always combine the Rainbow Goldfish with the pretzel Goldfish and like make like a mix of both of them together. And like every time I go home, we still have like a huge tub in our pantry that's just like a mix. Like I even do it at my apartment here in Orlando. And for some, I literally brought that to school every single day, whether I ate it for snack or I ate it with my lunch. I literally eat, and I still to this day, like at work, I either pack like Cheez-Its or the snack mix. And it was always a thing. Like all my friends always said it was like my mom's thing, and they would always like tease my mom about it, like the ones that are close with my family, like, oh my gosh, that's like your thing. And so that was the snack I like grew up with. I always had that. I had that thing on me all the time, everywhere I went. For soccer, I always had like one in my backpack. And then my mom was really upset because like 3 years ago me and her went to Walmart and now they sell like an actual goldfish big tub that like mixes the goldfish with the pretzel goldfish.
It's your idea, like, man.
He's like, I've been robbed. I've been doing this for so many years, and now they're selling it. And I was just, it was a sad day. And then I also always had to have a cookie. It was like a weird superstition thing though. In high school, whenever I had a like a high school soccer game that day, I had to like buy the same sprinkled cookie from the lunch line every day that I had a game. And it was like a really superstitious thing. So, but it worked. So.
Well, if we're doing candies and all kinds of stuff like that, there was something in high school that we used to do. We had a place called, like that only juniors and seniors could go to, in the basement of the school. And they had like ping pong tables and couches, relax. And they had like a snack shack where you could get slushies, and I would do, you get the cherry slushie and then put Swedish fish into it. So they would like get frozen.
Ooh, yeah. And they get a little hard. Yeah.
That was always a go-to. So that's not a snack because it's actually like candy and the slushie, but apparently that's a snack to Dusty.
It is. Here's a combo for you guys. Here's a combo. I know we're running long, but here's a combo that is an odd one. You need to try it. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Regular goldfish crackers. I know it doesn't sound good, but there's something about the sweet and salty. You don't put them in a bowl together. You have like a spoonful of one. You have a spoonful of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Milk with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
No, it's dry. You eat like a snack. You eat like a snack. Cinnamon Toast Crunch and then goldfish crackers. The original goldfish crackers. It's something about the taste of them together. I know. I see your faces. It doesn't sound great, but there's like something about the taste of those two together. Very, very good.
That's I mean, normally you bring, like, when we quiz you on, you know, routes and all this kind of stuff, like, you're dead on. You're always right. You're, you know, you've been off today. Like, all of your takes have been just horrible.
I'm telling you, man, I feel like I've slept like an average of 4 hours for the past 2 months.
See, and this is
catching up with me.
I'm on the flip side now. Like, my son had his surgery and all of a sudden he's sleeping through the night. So I'm like, I'm feeling really good.
I'm in the middle. I get like 4 hours of sleep a night with school. But now, after tomorrow, I'm going to be sleeping good every single day, knowing that I'm like done with this class.
You guys are
the worst. Really hope that this podcast continues on for years and years. And after Sarah has kids and she's like, guys, I'm so tired. I'm not sleeping. And Dusty and I are like, you know, got 10, 12-year-old children. And we're like, this is amazing.
I hope so, too, because that would be hilarious to be like at that stage, like, and you guys will be like, oh, I told you so. Remember when we used to talk about
that? Come on, sir. You just had a kid. You can jump on the podcast. <are you?
laughs> I'm like in the hospital, like waiting to give birth. And they're like, welcome into the Thursday edition of the podcast.
Whereas I didn't show up a couple weeks ago because I was drinking at a conference. But Sarah, I believe Sarah would show up for that because she's a trooper.
I don't know. That's pushing it. That's pushing it. And that's like years from now. So.
Well, that seems like a good place to wrap this all up.
We're so committed and loyal to this podcast.
Sarah's going to be having children and then, you know, jumping on the next day. I mean, it's doable. That's doable. She's got a phone and Twitter. She can stay caught up. I like it. Well, guys, we jumped off the rails again, shocking to everybody listening, but we hope you guys had a lot of fun with us. We will be back next week again. I think we got some more stuff to break down, right?
Yeah, we're doing the linebackers.
Ooh, top linebackers. That'll be a good one. I always enjoy some high-quality linebackers, some of the Packers haven't had for a long time, so it's always fun to talk about who they're going to be playing. So next week we'll check on linebackers. I'm sure we'll hit some more food takes because that's what we do. And
that's the 4th of July episode, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It'll be July 3rd when recording, so you'll be hearing some fireworks in the background from everybody. I might have my dog with me trying to comfort him so he's not freaking out.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. So I will catch you guys next week. I'm going to put a couple of those polls out on Twitter because Dusty doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And we'll go from there. So you guys want to – do you have anything else? I need to open it up to you guys if you want to say anything else because Dusty told me I'd never do this. So is there anything you'd like to say before we end the episode?
No.
I do. I do, Steve.
You're not allowed to edit that out.
Coughing. No, I can't. You guys laughed, and so now I can't edit it out. The only thing I have to say, I don't know. It's a long off season, but having fun with you guys. This is awesome. And then also – I'll pimp my own stuff for a minute every Thursday. So the day this comes out, so I look super busy on Thursdays when really we record on Wednesday and my article is done before this anyway. Every Thursday I have an article going up on LaFleur's offense, looking at the Titans offense from last year, kind of looking at some passing stuff and some stuff that he could do with that in Green Bay that I put entirely too much time into. And so if you feel like after listening to this podcast, go, oh, hey, I'm going to check that out. It hits like 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. on Thursdays is always when that sucker's scheduled. And it's been a lot of fun to write. So if you're looking for his passing concept stuff, you can do that. And let me know how bad it is.
I do like to make fun of you quite a bit, but man, every time I read that, I feel like I actually do get smarter, which I know you'll also make fun of me for. But man, like there's so much knowledge in there. It's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like I know nothing about football when I read it. I'm like, wow, like this is some high level analysis. So definitely check it out.
Every time I write it, I feel like I don't know anything either. So we're all in this together. All in this together.
Sarah, do you have any closing comments or should we wrap this up?
I think I'm good for now.
Okay. Well, it's been fun. We will catch you guys next week. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. That's at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Perhatch, at Packaday Podcast. And be sure to follow that Packaday Podcast. There should be a very pretty large announcement coming soon within the next day or two from Andy and from the Packaday Podcast. Mm-hmm. So make sure to follow that. Thanks for listening. We will catch you guys next week. And as always, go Pack, go.